Committee to order. It is 1:18 p.m. on Wednesday, April 7, 2021. Before we begin, I want to thank Shannon McCain, the House Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Tom Raymond from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Representative Eastman, Representative Drummond, Representative Christ Tompkins, my vice chair, Representative Snyder, who is with us on Teams, and myself, Representative Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first order of business today is commission confirmation hearings. The speaker has referred the following governor's appointees to the Judiciary Committee, the Commission on Judicial Conduct. Members have received resumes or applications for each appointment. I'll note for members that we will not be hearing from all appointees to the Commission on Judicial Conduct today, as some appointees were not available. The remaining appointees will come before the committee on Friday, April 9th. The appointees are online and will testify, and we'll now open public testimony. And for the appointees, who I believe are all on the phone, because you're not here, please make sure you're not on a speakerphone, as the sound quality is not clear and it is often difficult to hear what you're saying. We're going to start with Mr. Todd Fletcher. Mr. Fletcher, if you're online, please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Okay. Hello, this is Todd Fletcher. I am one of the citizen members for the Commission on Judicial Conduct. I was born and raised in Alaska. I've been married 26 years to my wife, Lisa. I've got two kids. My son, Logan, is a freshman at Dixie State in St. George, Utah. My daughter is a junior at Diamond High. For my work, I'm a branch manager and advisor at Wells Fargo Advisors here in Anchorage. I'm also an Eagle Scout, and I'll just say I've really enjoyed my time working both with the attorneys and the judges on the commission at this point. So I really appreciate your time.
And just for I note that Representative Vance joins us just at looks like at 1:20. Are you current? Is this a new appointment for you, or have you served on the commission previously?
I've been on the commission, but this is my first appointment, I think, because of, you know, the COVID situation.
Okay. Any questions? I note that Representative Kirka also joined us at 1:21. Any questions for Mr. Fletcher? Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher. Appreciate your coming before us today. I'm curious to know what it was that initially interested you in serving on the Judicial Conduct Commission.
Well, part of it ends up being that I reached out to be able to find a way for me to give back to the community, and this was one of the positions that was available, and I think with as important as our judicial system is, with checks and balances, being able to look at things from all sides to just make sure ethics are followed, it's something that I felt I could be a good public member.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Fletcher, for offering yourself to public service. I wasn't clear on how long it has been that you're serving on the Judicial Conduct Commission. I understand you got appointed and COVID got in the way, but how long have you served, and I guess how many reviews of judicial conduct have you participated in during that time?
I've been on a year and a half, and we meet once a quarter. So I want to say there's probably been 6-7 meetings.
And just for clarification, because I have it on the confirmation report, he was appointed first on May 21st, 2019, and the term that he's appointed to would expire on March 1st, 2023. Go ahead, Representative Drummond. You can follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. in the 1.5 years and one meeting per quarter, I'm assuming that's about 5 or 6 meetings, it sounds like, how many reviews of judicial conduct have been conducted in those various meetings?
And I would just note, Mr. Fletcher, if some of that is confidential, I think you can tell, you may not be able to identify certain issues, but if you've heard cases, you may be able to talk just in general terms.
Yeah, I want to say that it ends up being that it can be anywhere from 10 to probably 20 that would take place per meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. Ms. Fletcher, I'm curious, are there any particular types of judicial conduct that are especially concerning to you?
There really hasn't been too many that concern me. I think the way that the commission is set up, it really allows to address how things are handled and in regards to looking at what the decisions were made in regards to ethics. A lot of the complaints that come through end up coming where somebody just wasn't happy with a judge's decision. So it ends up being more something along the lines that when we look into the situation of what happens, it allows us to determine if there was actually an ethics situation that would have taken place. And I think by having 3 public members, 3 attorneys, and 3 judges, it really allows us to work very well together as a group to have the specifics addressed from all different sides.
Follow-up, Representative Eastman.
And follow-up through the chair. Mr. Fletcher, and in your experience, is the scope of the commission appropriate, or is it too narrow, or is it too broad? Can you just share your experience with us?
Yeah, I think our commissioner ends up basically addressing the situation to see if there is a ethics violation or one that could possibly be, and then it's brought before us in regards to the decision that has basically she's come to if there was a possible violation, and then it comes to us to be able to say if we agree with the decision that she made and if it needs to be pursued farther.
Thank you.
And I will just say with the attorney's point of view and also with the judge's point of view in regards to the higher standards that they are held to, it really helps the commission address any situation that could be viewed out there as a possible ethics violation. So I think it's a very good in-depth analysis of what happens. We get audio. We get transcripts, so we go through and we look at things to be able to see how things were handled, what was said, what was done, and being able to look at things. So I think it's the commission does a very good job, and the way it works really fits with our judicial system.
Representative Eastman, follow up.
Thank you. And do you currently have any personal or professional relationships with members of the judiciary that would be looked on as a conflict of interest?
No, not at all.
Thank you.
I don't see any further questions for Mr. Fletcher. Next in the list, we've got Mr. McClintock. Mr. McClintock, if you're online, please state your name for the record, and you can proceed with your testimony. Actually, before he does that, I will note, Mr. McClintock, are you online?
I am.
Can all right. You hear me? I'll just note for the committee. We hear you just fine. I'll just note for the committee because that came up earlier. Mr. McClintock was first appointed on March 1st, 2017. That term expired on March 1st of this year. The governor reappointed him to the term beginning on March 1st of this year, and that term is a 4-year term that would expire on March 1st, 2025. Mr. McClintock, you can proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chairperson Klayman and members of the House Judiciary Committee. I'd also like to thank Ms. Kubitz and Ms. Enright for their careful coordination of this hearing. So my wife and I have been 40-year-plus residents of the state of Alaska. We've raised our two children here. We intend on continuing to enjoy the great pleasure of our state. Reason why I appreciate the opportunity for confirmation of a second term on the Judicial Conduct Commission is I do believe that the commission's role to both protect the public and also uphold the integrity of the judicial branch as a valued institution in our society are important ones, and I just appreciate the chance to contribute to that mission. I am an attorney by profession, and I do hope that any insights that I have from my years both in front of other judges and talking to other practitioners is of value. I totally agree with Mr. Fletcher. One of the actual pleasures of the service on the commission has been to have the dialogue both with the public members and the judicial members and the attorney members, and what has I've always observed and I think has been the tradition, a very collegial and positive process sort of focused on the mission at hand. So with that, I guess I would just say that I would appreciate the chance to continue to serve in another term. Thank you.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. McClintock, I don't see a statement from you in our packet relating to conflict of interest, so I want to ask for the record, do you currently have any personal or professional relationships with any of the members of the judiciary you would be reviewing potentially that might be a conflict of interest you are serving on the commission?
When I first joined the commission, I noted and it had basically a standard recusal. I'd been lifelong friends with presiding judge William Morris and felt that our social friendships were probably too deep that I should not sit in those. As a result, if you look at the minutes of our proceedings, I have excused myself from any matters at all involving any of Judge Morris, but that is the only one that I have.
Thank you.
Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have just one question, and I'm looking at the community affiliations, and the second line says Justice Not Politics Alaska Board Member Board of Directors. And could you provide a description of what that is and your involvement in that?
Sure. JMPA is, and I'm on the educational C3 part of it, is committed to basically educating the public on the unique Alaska process that we have of selection and retention of judges. One of the things that I do observe, we're often shared copies of disciplinary proceedings in other jurisdictions, and one of the things I think we really believe that our Alaska has worked well is the misconduct by judges in our state seem to be of almost minuscule in comparison to some of the incidents observed in other states, especially ones that have elected judges, just because of the complexities of fundraising and the nature of the electoral process and judges. So anyhow, that is basically our mission is to educate the public on the importance of our judiciary article in our Constitution and why we believe that it's worked well.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. McClintock, I know you've got quite a lengthy legal career, and I'm curious if you have yourself applied to be a member of the judiciary. If so, when was the last time that took place?
I applied once, and age, I'm not quite sure exactly what year. It was for a position on the Alaska Supreme Court, and I was not advanced for consideration to the governor, so that was my one effort.
Thank you.
I see no further questions for Mr. McClintock. So the next person in the queue is Robert Sheldon, who should be online, and I will, as I did with Mr. McClintock, just so we are all up to date, he was first appointed on January 29th, 2008, a term that expired a couple of months later. He was reappointed on March 1st, 2008. That term expired on March 1st, 2012. He was reappointed on March 1st, 2012. That term expired on March 1st, 2016. He was reappointed on March 1st, 2016. That term expired on March 1st, 2020. He was reappointed on March 1st, 2020. And that's the term he's currently in, and the term is scheduled to expire on March 1st, 2024. So, Mr. Sheldon, if you would go ahead and proceed with your testimony, identifying yourself for the record first.
Good afternoon, Chair Klayman and committee members. I am Robert Sheldon. I'm a third-generation Alaskan who is following my family's example of public service for the last 89 years in Alaska. I'm presently employed by companies or serve on board for high-latitude capital formation and business endeavors in Alaska, Canada, Iceland, Greenland, and mainland Scandinavia. Since 2004, I've served on several boards, commissions, and councils for each of the past five governors of Alaska. This would be my fourth term at the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct. I am a public member. As you know, the commission investigates alleged judicial misconduct and ethical impropriety. Fortunately, most complaints are either unsubstantiated or non-jurisdictional in nature. I'll just add from a prior question, we've had a maximum of, in our history, of 75 complaints in a given year and a minimum of 31. 75 was in 13 and 31 is in 19. My education, work, and interest in finance and economics extend to the interconnections with the judiciary. We all know that rule of law is critical to an orderly functioning of an economy, but is also priced in as a component of Alaska's cost of capital. Alaska is priced as if it is in a expensive emerging economy rather than a developed economy. It's my hope that through a continued ensuring of confidence in the judiciary that Alaska's cost and capital should come down over time. Serving on the Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct has been an extremely satisfying experience, but one where it has become obvious that it is highly important that the Commission have orderly continuity of service, as well as institutional knowledge retention amongst the Commission members. As you are likely aware, judge and attorney representatives are, for a variety of reasons, frequently unable to serve for more than one four-year period. Public members help bridge long-term continuity and knowledge. I hope to continue to be a part of that, and I appreciate your consideration today. Thank you.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Mr. Sheldon. And I'm curious, having served on the commission and previously been the vice chair, as you look at the mission of the commission, the confidence rule of law you mentioned, certainly cost of capital is something I'm sympathetic to. Would it be more helpful to the commission, in your experience, to have a more narrow or a more broad scope as far as the type of conduct that the commission deals with?
Our deliberative process has been productive over these years. One of the things I'm fond of sharing with folks, the little that I can share, is in my 13 years of experience, the jurisdictional as well as non-jurisdictional issues that come before us, fortunately, the vast majority of them are dismissed. That gives us confidence that our system is operating well. The makeup of three attorneys, three judges, and three public members is very conducive to effective deliberations, sometimes a bit more animated than others. But as we sit as a commission now, I believe that it is both the quality as well as the capability are sufficient.
Thank you. Follow up.
Representative Eastman.
Thank you. And as I have asked some other members before us today, I don't see anything on your resume here in my packet dealing with conflict of interest. Do you currently have any professional or personal relationships with members of the judiciary that might impact your conduct or ability to serve based on a conflict of interest?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, I have no such conflicts, nor was I presented with the paperwork to fill it out, but I'd gladly do so if so requested.
Thank you.
see any other questions. No other questions, I think, from members of the committee. Mr. Sheldon, thank you for joining us today, and thank you for your many years of service on the commission. The last person to is Carla Taylor Welch. Ms. Welch was first appointed on March 1st, 2016. That term expired on March 1st, 2020. She was reappointed on April 1st, 2020, and that term is due to expire on March 1st, 2024. Ms. Taylor Welch, if you want to identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Carla Taylor Welch. I am an attorney appointee from the 4th Judicial District. I reside in Fairbanks. I'm a third-generation Alaska. I was born and raised in Fairbanks. Several generations of my family have been in public service. My grandfather helped write the Constitution, was a Speaker of the House way back when, and my father and grandfather both were territorial lawyers and then lawyers, and then I followed in their footsteps and became a lawyer. Worked for the state in various positions as an attorney on both sides for about 35 years. Enjoyed my practice. I was an active litigant. I was actively involved in litigation, and I think where that helps with the job that I'm called upon to do as a commissioner is that before I retired, I was in court almost on a daily basis. So I was able to firsthand see what it was like to be in a courtroom, see what it was like for different various litigants, and sort of the trials and tribulations of being in a courtroom and sometimes what judges are faced with based on different personalities within the courtroom. So that gave me, gives me somewhat of a unique position in being able to then later look at a judge's conduct and complaints against the judge and use my years of experience in how that could have played out in the courtroom and how to come to a fair conclusion. I have decided, that I would do this for one more term. I had the 4-year term. I feel like I could do one more term. I feel like it took me just a little bit of time the first year or so to kind of get my feet wet and figure out what's going on. And I felt like now that I feel like I have a really good handle on how the commission works, that it would be better for continuity to at least do this for another term. I can tell the I don't believe that I will continue on after this one. I think 2 terms, and then we'll give somebody else a chance to step in and do this. I have a strong belief in our Constitution and the role of the judiciary as an independent branch of the government. I believe it's important for it to remain unbiased and independent and free of unethical activities. And in that respect, I think the commission serves a wonderful purpose in that it were able to look at all complaints that come in and make a decision as to whether or not a judge's conduct was ethical. And this helps keep our judiciary strong and the confidence of the people of the state of Alaska in our judicial system is very important, and I believe that having the commission and serving on the commission helps that to continue. It's an honor and privilege to serve the people of Alaska in this way.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Representative Eastman.
Thank you, and through the chair. I noticed that you have a background dealing in some, family law areas, China cases and so forth. And I'm curious, obviously that's one of the more contentious areas the courts delve into. To what extent of all the complaints that you deal with, how many of those relate to family law types of issues?
Generally the complaints are, I'm trying to recall if I've seen any in the China realm. Where I've seen them is in family law with divorce and custody often, and often those are with parents that are arguing over either property or children and visitation, and since those are very contentious and often very heated, I think even much more than the China cases that I dealt with, that those tend to lend themselves to more complaints. because the person who does not prevail is often feels like they were not treated fairly. It's not so much in China cases, and I'm not really sure exactly why that is, but we don't see a lot of complaints. It's generally in criminal cases and in civil family law.
Thank you.
I don't see any other questions. Thank you very much, Ms. Taylor-Welch. I would note, probably unrelated to this, but as a person with 3 degrees from Baylor University, you're probably pretty happy this week.
I was. That's putting it mildly, yeah. No, it was. I think my husband and I are traveling, so we had to find a place with the television to watch, and I think we were the only people in this facility cheering for Baylor, but anyway, it was great to watch that.
I saw that and I thought, well, this is a happy week for Baylor graduates, and you have 3 degrees, so.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. We'll now move on to public testimony. I don't see anyone in the room that wants to provide public testimony. We have no one online. I had opened public testimony, and then I will close public testimony because there was no one online. And that brings us to final comments. As usual, I'm giving members one opportunity to make final comments, limited to 3 minutes. And this today, I will start with Representative Snyder. Any comments on the 4 nominees?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very impressed with the level of commitment and trust that these folks bring to me, and how they've represented themselves. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Snyder. I'm sorry, Representative Vance. I apologize. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the nominees coming before us, and I will look further into their background, and will look for input from my constituents before making a decision.
Representative Kirka.
No comment at this time.
Representative Christ-Tompkins. And I would just note, I appreciate the service of all. These are all, except for Mr. Fletcher, all that have served previously. And Mr. Fletcher, in a year and a half, is obviously enjoying and finding it a valuable place to serve the community. So appreciate all their willingness to serve in this role. Representative Snyder.
Yes. The Judiciary Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees and recommends that the following names be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Todd Fletcher, Donald McClintock, Robert Sheldon, and Carla Taylor-Welch to the Commission on Judicial Conduct. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against this individual or these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you, and the names will be forwarded to the joint session. And there's no vote required, but Representative Snyder, after the meeting is over, please come down and sign the paperwork. Our second and final order of business today is House Bill 155, Court System Provide Visitors and Experts, sponsored by Representative Tuck. This is the second hearing of the bill in the Judiciary Committee. Our office did not receive any amendments to House Bill 55. That brings House Bill 155 back before the committee. And I would just ask, are there any questions? I know Mr. Stinson is online. I believe Mr. Wooliver is online. And Representative Tuck is here as well. Oh, actually, here's a note. Just make sure the members of the committee are aware. There was a question that was asked to Mr. Wooliver. Asked how many cases were filed each year under IS 4730.879, which is the court-ordered administration of medication. Last year, there were a total of 63 cases, 50 in Anchorage, 5 in Fairbanks, 5 in Juneau, and 3 in Palmer. And to the extent you didn't get that memo, that's the information in response to that question. Does anybody have questions for any folks here that could answer those questions? I don't see any. I did have one question. I think this is, I'm not sure whether this is for Mr. Wooliver or Mr. Stinson, but I did take a look at the conservator statute, which is already managed by the court system. and they list a number of things that are to be put in their report for the conservatives, but I don't know any, there's no similar kind of detailed reporting requirements that are in the Guardian provisions. Is there a reason for that, or is it not necessary? If you could provide a little bit of insight. I guess I'll start with Mr. Woolover.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doug Woolover, Deputy Administrative Director for the Alaska Court System. Well, there's a 50-50 chance you would call on me, and I was hoping you would call on Mr. Stinson. His office is the one who currently does this work, and he's likely a little more familiar with their details than am I.
All right, then I will turn to Mr. Stinson.
Thank you, Chair Klayman. Yeah, my understanding is that since 1984, it's essentially not been needed to be stated, because in either case, the court visitor is doing the same thing. Whether it's a conservatorship case or guardianship case, they're essentially giving an independent investigative report to the court. At the point the court takes administration of this program over, I imagine they could set their own administrative requirements, or they could give guidance into what they would need in a report, because ultimately a judge is having to make a finding on whether or not a certain threshold is met for somebody to get a conservatorship or to get a guardianship in either case. So there has to be sufficient evidence of that, and the court visitor report is sort of one of those important pieces of evidence where they can collect, you know, medical evidence and other things that can give a court the ability to make that decision. So I know in either case there's not a real big distinction at all between the report. I imagine it's just continued on that way since 1984. I don't think it's necessary to put anything in the conservatorship in the guardianship statute to necessarily mirror the conservatorship statute. I imagine it'll continue to be the same.
Thank you very much. That brings the bill back before the committee for final comments, and as usual, I'll give members one opportunity for final comments, and we start on this with Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This sounds like a really smart move, and I don't have any problem supporting it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Vance. Representative Eastman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I guess my outstanding question deals with cost here. I see two fiscal notes, and they both speak to the costs, but I'm a little bit uncertain why the costs do not pencil or balance out. So I see one department, you know, losing a service, and one department, in essence, gaining a service, but I would expect, since it's the same service, that the one department gaining the service would pick up the same amount of costs as the department is losing those costs. But I just don't understand why those don't balance out, why we're paying more money. Shouldn't this be an even swap? That's my only comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Eastman. Representative Kirka.
No comment at this time.
Representative Christ Tompkins.
No comment.
And Representative Snyder.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
I too have no comments. Before we vote, I would like to identify for the recording secretary who is voting via Microsoft Teams, and that would be Representative Snyder voting today on Microsoft Teams. And Representative Snyder, may I have a motion?
Yes, I move version 32-LS0698/B of House Bill 155 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Hearing and seeing no objection, House Bill 155 moves from committee. I'd ask members to please stay behind after we adjourn to sign the paperwork, and Representative Snyder, if you also would come downstairs after we adjourn and sign the paperwork. We will adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Friday, April 9th at 1 p.m. Later today, I would note for members of the committee, my office will be sending information that we received from the insurance industry concerning House Bill 29 and some of the communications they received. It will include a copy of similar legislation that passed in Utah concerning easements and utilities. On Friday, we will hear from insurance representatives and from the State Division of Forestry. in light of the materials that we received from the insurance industry and the Utah statute, I would ask you to please review and advise my office by 9 o'clock on Friday, April 9th, whether you're comfortable moving the bill at the end of the hearing or whether you would like us to consider holding the bill to consider potential additional amendments that we did not consider before. And with that, we will stand adjourned. The time is now 1:52 p.m.